Scripture for today is from Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
Jesus is transfigured, and Peter says, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Peter wants to make tents for everyone. Maybe he thinks, "This is amazing. Let's just stay right here. Let me build a structure to keep us safe, and then we won't ever need to leave. No need to change a thing." Does Peter, consciously or not, realize that if Jesus can be so transformed, then Peter cannot remain unchanged? And maybe change frightens him. So let's pitch some tents. Let's pitch some tents. Let's keep things the way they are. Let's hunker down, ride it out. Maybe this whole thing will just pass us by. I can stay here in my tent and everything will be the same. Jesus will be the same, and I will be the same. But rather than blame Peter for his myopia, maybe we admit our own. Transfiguration means change. Encountering God means change. And change is often hard, often painful. And so we run from it. We build dwellings and refuse to be moved. We cover our faces, we cover our bodies, we hide. Maybe we convince ourselves that the change can wait, that it isn't really necessary, that the time's not right, that the problem that needs to be addressed isn't that bad, that the new way of doing it can't really be that much better, that we're just too old, too young, too fat, too thin, too rich, too poor. It's too Tuesday, too Saturday, too scary, too strange. And so we hide. Jesus is joined on the Mount of Transfiguration by Moses and Elijah. Surely there's no coincidence in the choice of these companions. Moses returned to the people with his face glowing, following his second trip up Mount Sinai to meet with God. He covered his own shining face with a veil. That second trip was necessary because Moses needed a new copy of the Ten Commandments. You see, he broke the first copy in anger when he descended from the mountain and discovered the people worshiping a golden calf. And so he prayed and he fasted for 40 days and he made a second trip. He returned from that trip glowing and he immediately hid behind a veil. Elijah wanted to hide. With a prophet's eye and a prophet's voice, he was telling and showing the people a truth they did not want to hear and they certainly did not want to see. And so they threatened to kill him. He fled. An angel came to him and told him to eat and to drink And then he went on the strength of that food, eating nothing else for 40 days and 40 nights as he traveled to Horeb, the mountain of God. And at that place, the Bible says, he came to a cave and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A mantle is like a blanket, like a blanket. Elijah, fleeing for his life, encounters God and he wraps himself in a blanket. He hides. And Jesus, as Jesus and the disciples were coming down the mountain, Jesus orders them, "Tell no one about the vision that you've experienced until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Don't tell. Let me hide in what little anonymity I still have. You can talk about me all you want after I'm dead, but I'm not ready. Let me remain obscured, hidden, just a little while longer." Moses, Elijah, and Jesus each experience 40 days of prayer and fasting. They each have a mountaintop experience. They each glow, if you count Elijah's chariot of fire, which I think we should count. But if we stop at those commonalities, then we miss something. They all hide. All life is connected and related, and all life changes. Jesus, we get it. Moses, we understand. Elijah, you're not the only one who wants to stay in bed all day with a blanket. Change can be hard. Big changes and small changes. Peter, too, his instinct is to hide, to stay. "Rabbi, let's just stay here. I'll build tents for everyone. No need for us to leave." But as we read in our lection, while Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Get up, do not be afraid. We cannot stay here. There's work to be done. We must leave the mountain. We must come out from under our blankets. Speak up instead of keeping quiet. Get up. Do not be afraid. You've heard the opposite of fear is love. Could Jesus be asking us yet again, as he's asked us over and over since that voice at his baptism, like the voice today, called him beloved? Could Jesus be saying to us, "You too are beloved. Now get up and love." You only have to look around our world to find plenty to be afraid of. I am often afraid. I often want to hide, to pull the covers up and just stay in bed. Knowing what it is to fear and to hide, still Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, still they invite us to come down from the mountain. They invite us to abandon our hiding places. They invite us to focus our fear into love, into action. It's tempting to want to stay put, want to hide, perhaps especially when there are changes we feel we have so little control over. Changes in our bodies and our health, changes in policy, changes in the tone of public discourse. There is an alarming rise in hate speech and hate crimes. Our planet is changing. Our priorities are changing. Welcome is so often being replaced by exclusion. It can be overwhelming. But if we stay on the mountain, if we cover ourselves and are unmoved, then nothing can ever get better. When the disciples and Jesus come down from the mountain, they're met by a great crowd. Among the crowd is a man whose son is sick. The son is healed. And Jesus goes on from there, teaching and healing, welcoming children, welcoming outcasts. And then eventually he sets his face toward Jerusalem, toward the center of oppression. We are all changing all the time. Will we choose to change toward love, toward justice, toward peace? We are transformed and transforming, always becoming. Growth and change can be hard. And when we set out to change, when we're intentional and deliberate, change can open our hearts, open our minds, open our welcome. Change can bring peace. Change can create justice. One of the gifts I was given when I graduated from high school was a book called Living Out Christ's Love. It was written by Toyohiko Kagawa. I was given several books, and this was one of the books I actually read. Kagawa was a Japanese Christian pacifist. He was a Christian reformer and a labor activist. Kagawa wrote, spoke, and worked at length on ways to employ Christian principles in the ordering of society. His vocation to help the poor led him to live among them. He established schools and hospitals and churches. For more than 20 years, a line from this book has come to me again and again. Kagawa wrote, "I read in a book that a man called Christ went about doing good. It is very disconcerting to me that I am so easily satisfied with just going about. I am so easily satisfied with just going about. And this Lent, I want to change. I want to change with intention. I want to change with love." What would happen if in these 40 days we devote ourselves to love? What if we move out of our tents, throw off our veils, remove ourselves from the covers, throw off our feelings of overwhelm and apathy? What if we start and then we just keep going, one small act of love at a time, one connection and then the next? This Lent, let's be transformed. Let's refuse to be satisfied with simply going about. Let's follow Jesus and do good. Amen.